What's up, guys? Welcome to Sean vs. Wild. I'm your host, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. Hopefully you guys had a very fun and safe and happy Thanksgiving. I didn't talk about Thanksgiving last week beforehand. I'm going to talk about it after the fact, okay? I'm talking about it this week. I have a lot to be thankful for, and I just wanted to share that with you guys. First and foremost, I'm thankful for each and every single one of you that are tuning in, listening right now. If you're a new listener, thank you for finding the show. If you've been with me, OG, since back in the day, I appreciate you returning each and every week. I'm thankful now we've surpassed that 10,000 downloads mark. Very flattered, very thrilled that we were able to hit that number. And then the number just keeps climbing from there. So we've surpassed 10,000. So we're 10,000 plus downloads now, on our way to 20,000, on our way to 100,000, on our way to a million, and so on and so forth. Guys, I'm also thankful for my sponsor at Audiophile Inc. I'm talking about Shane. We got some awesome new merch printed up for you this week. So be on the lookout on the social media, and you'll see all of that. So thank you, Shane. Thank you to Joe Brock for booping the dials. Also, thanks to Audible. Okay, thankful for them because Audible giving away those 30-day free trial memberships just by being a Sean versus Wild listener. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild and sign up. When you do, it kicks back a significant amount of money to me, and I can use it because all this is just self-funded, guys. Not making any money on this podcasting thing yet, but we'll see. Guys, I'm thankful, most importantly, for my guest today. I'm talking about Michaela Busca from Catechus. Michaela's always out there hustling, grinding, getting the word out on her band and promoting it. I see a lot of their merchandise, stickers, all that sort of thing wherever I go. That's why I wanted to have her on the show. I want to be able to spotlight her music, and we had a great conversation. We're sitting down face to face. You know what I'm saying? I always love that. I'm thankful for the virtual Smithsonian, but whenever I can actually get a guest in the Smithsonian, you can sit down and you know, just really have a good heart to heart. Great conversation here today. So big thank you to her for doing the interview. And yeah, guys, it's been an awesome time. I had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you did too. I ate a lot, but that's to be expected, guys. I have a perfect bod for radio, so I'm just trying to, you know what I'm saying? Just trying to keep up the carbo load. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to carbo load at this time of year. It's getting colder. I'm going to need to beef up. It's bulking season. So yeah, definitely ate a lot, definitely celebrated a lot. But we all came in on the other side. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope your work week is going well after that long weekend off last week. So yeah, that's going to be it for me, guys. Enjoy the show. Again, thanks so much for liking, sharing, and subscribing. If you haven't yet, please do so. Please write a little review on iTunes. That goes a long way to increase visibility. And the more visible, the more downloads and all that good sort of thing. So it all works out, guys. It's like the circle of life, but it's a podcast. So, you know, enough from me, guys. Enough from me. It's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. It is time, my friends, to get wild.
Potty with it. Dun, 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 dun.
So yeah, we just took turns licking the salt lamp to make sure that this salt lamp is authentic.
It wasn't a sweaty salt lamp. It could be more salty.
I'm just saying, I mean, we didn't actually straight up lick this salt lamp, but we just touched our fingers and then touched the lamp and then touched our fingers again, but this time
I'm
with our
do it
tongue
again.
But yeah, now I'm just saying that's a weird thing, but I had to make sure that this is 100% an authentic salt lamp.
Yep. Salt.
Because otherwise
validated.
It's just a rock.
It could be a fake rock. We don't even know.
It's maybe the saltiest rock I've ever encountered.
I've licked a lot of rocks.
Obviously. You know, in my background rock licking, I found this is not the saltiest rock I've come in contact with. But yeah, I got this salt lamp. I wanted it to, I don't know, I wanted it to look cool. I heard Joe Rogan had one, so I was like, well, if Rogan's got one, I have to have one. I can't be the only podcast on the block without a salt lamp.
That is a standard.
And I really do feel like it's helped my mojo.
Yeah.
Would you say, I mean, I think this room's got some pretty positive vibes radiating from it right now.
It is definitely like the focal point of your room.
I think so, yeah. of the podcast studio here at the Smithsonian. Guys, if you were here right now, you would see this salt lamp in full glory. And it smells like banana bread in here today.
And the salt lamp, like, it, the light really illuminates my toes.
I can't believe you came over here no shoes.
I don't wear shoes.
Well, I know you didn't wear shoes on stage.
No, I don't wear them.
But to find out that you didn't wear shoes at all.
I don't wear shoes.
Have you ever watched that the Dual Survivor show where they have two survivalists and one's a hippie that refuses to wear shoes and the other one's like an ex-Navy SEAL and they have to like survive the wilderness together?
Yeah.
It's great because it's almost like a husband and wife dynamic that they take on. Like
do they show them banging?
No, I don't think it's on this. I don't. Maybe on the DVD seasons. I don't know. Just kidding. That's not their dynamic. It's not a. They're not invested in love, but they are invested in survival. But it is so weird.
Well, when it's cold, you have to huddle for warmth.
That's true. So, but one's like a more
things kind of happen.
One's more like the hunter, and the other one's like the Mother Nature like gatherer. So the dynamics are. It's what a bunch of kooky adventures that they get into.
I believe it.
So, yeah, guys, this isn't just the Dual Survivor podcast or the Salt Rock Licking Championship of 2017. This is the Sean versus Wild podcast, and I'm here with Michaela Bushka.
Bushka.
She made me say it. She said I had to say it really ballsy.
Yeah, you basically got to, you know, dig deep into your ball sack and say Bushka.
Gotcha. What's the – it sounds very, Russian to me, maybe?
Czech.
Mm-hmm. Well, I better check myself before I wreck myself.
Right? I sound like a Russian mobster if I say my name right.
Well, say it for everyone out there.
Yeah, you said Michaela Bushka.
See, yeah, you said
I sound it, like I'm going to kill you.
You said it way cooler than I did.
I did.
I'm going to have you introduce yourself next time.
Yep.
On take two, obviously, and then on round two.
I don't speak much of my own Czech language, so that it ends about there.
But yeah, and you're the singer of Catechist for all those out there listening. Catechist here.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm stoked that you were able to do this because a big part of my show is I just enjoy, I don't know, local bands, people that are kind of up and coming or people that are out there doing anything. And I noticed that your band is a band that you've really got the merchandise game on lock.
I hustle.
Is that your doing?
Oh, that's all me. Yeah.
Yeah, what made you want to just market yourself on everything? Because I always see your stuff, stickers, flyers,
I will
shirts.
Sticker the world.
And so I was like, I'm gonna get her on the show and find out what the buzz is about here.
Well, I mean, the buzz is about awesome music and fun shows. I give hugs and stickers and spankings, and then I make cool merch.
Yeah, fantastic. And not only that, listeners, she hooked me up with a bunch of swag. We've had a few people here that'll hook your boy up every once in a while. Iron Falcon gave me a couple shirts and some CDs. Order Leviathan gave me some patches. I bought some records and stuff like that, supporting those out here. But Michaela came in. She came correct. You came in with a whole stack of swag.
I mean,
T-shirt, check. Hat, you know I'm a hat guy.
I know you're a hat guy.
That's what you said as soon as you got. I was like, dude, you have hats. And you're like, hey, Sean, you're a hat guy. You're right. Stickers.
I pay attention.
CDs. It's all there.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank you very much for the swag pack. I can't wait to enjoy all of this music.
Right.
So tell me, let's just start from ground zero. Tell me, tell the listeners out there about Catechist. How did it start? What's going on with it?
Well, so there have been rounds of Catechist. I've had the name since I was about 13 when singing in Latin. It's a Latin word, means fallen. And obviously, they're always talking about religious stuff in choir, you know, when you're singing in Latin songs. But it just stuck with me. It was my favorite word from that whole time period. And so in my brain, it was always like, that's going to be my band. So when I got in bands, I've used it 5 times.
Yeah.
In about 14 years, 15 years.
Well, if it isn't broke, don't fix it.
That's what I'm saying. So anytime I get in a new group and I say, hey, I want to be Catechist, if they say, sure, then I snag it right there. Then it's mine again. And then I'm Catechist once more.
Hey, well, that's fine. I mean, I'm a big fan of like Kiss, and like Kiss has had like several lineups over the past 40 years.
I don't even remember all the names of my past members. I don't.
Uh-huh, baby. Yeah, I had a... SHIT load, if you will. You can even swear on my show. I just decided not to there.
That was kind of funny.
We had a shitload of members. Pretty much anybody in the local music scene ran through our door at one point. So
right? My Catechist has streamed through Minnesota, Iowa, and now Indiana, Kentucky. So four states about. And to tell you the truth, I can't remember all the people that were involved in them through the years. But this round has been about 4 years in the making. I'm the only original member again from this round. But my current lineup, I feel really good about.
Mm-hmm.
They're all dudes. I really enjoy them. They're all really talented. They don't prepare for tour well. They only brought one pair of underwear and they were wearing them, so that's never good.
That's a dude prep right there.
It's a dude thing. I even bring deodorant for them.
That's probably a good idea.
I'm like the mother of this group, and I don't even like kids.
I'm like the mother of the group. I'm like the female mother figure of the group of dudes.
I hate being female motherly. I'm not that person. You know, I'm the one that'll beat them and say, get the fuck out there and change your clothes, but...
Yeah. So where did you where do you come from originally? Because I know you ain't from around here.
Iowa. Northeast corner farm. That's where I've licked all the rocks. We had to pick rock
yes.
out of the fields, you know, so we don't
rock
you know, damage
was
our
main
equipment.
Cash crop.
People give me crap about that all the time. They're like, do you harvest rocks? No, bitch. We just don't want them to damage our combines. Like, we got to get them out of there.
So. How does it feel to be like probably the second most popular band out of Iowa besides Slipknot?
Pretty awesome. Just saying.
So how did you, where did you start? So what makes you want to play music? Actually, before you even talk about starting Catechist, like what made you want to play music just in general? What made you go that route?
Well, honestly, it was never like a thing I wanted to do. I just do it. I feel like my soul is dying if I don't sing. So I quit periodically, and that's why it's been so many like rounds of Catechist. And I've been in I've called my band other things too over the years, or bands I've jumped into. But, and then I get in these down periods and I'm just like, oh, I hate my life. And then I start singing again and it's like, everything's where it needs to be. But, I don't know, when I was about three, I thought I was Elvis, and my dad was like, oh, you're a girl. You don't get to be Elvis. And I'm like, but I got the lip and the hips and I'm all shook up, you know, I had it all down. And he was like, no. And I was like, so at three, I had to figure out who else I wanted to be instead of Elvis.
So who did you decide you wanted to be?
Buddy Holly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Buddy Holly's one of my absolute faves, actually.
I carried a little orange Buddy Holly tape, the best of greatest hits of Buddy Holly, little orange tape in my pocket for years. I had that thing I think I scammed it from my dad when I was two or three. And it died when I was 12. It got stuck in a tape deck. Probably one of the hardest cries I had over something that didn't die, like literally die.
Yeah, I had a Girls Gone Wild VHS tape. And the same thing happened.
Did you cry when it got eaten?
One of my absolute favorites. And then one day the tape deck ate it, and that was it.
The worst day.
I was totes bummed after that.
I was like, no, Buddy Holly, no, come back. And there was no saving it. It was done. It was just jammed in that tape deck and nothing was fixing it. But I used to take it on the bus with me and stick it in every tape deck I could find. People hated me.
What's Buddy Holly's greatest hits?
Right?
Those are a lot of fantastic hits. What are some of your favorite Buddy Holly songs?
Oh, everything.
I'm really into, I love Buddy Holly too, but if I had to pick some of my faves, as a drummer, for some reason, I'm really into the song Every Day, even though the drums are just Jerry Allison slapping his legs. I was
right.
Like, that's actually kind of genius.
Right? It's a good
simple
song.
It's a creative masterstroke.
I know. If my guys would get on board, all I want to do is cover a Buddy Holly song.
Well, if they're not on board, I'll be on board.
Hell yes.
Because I have two legs, and these legs are meant for slapping here.
Yay!
So, what are some of your influences vocally?
More along the lines of like Sarah McLachlan, Lorena McKennitt, Dolores O'Riordan, Alanis Morissette, the list goes on and on. But those were vocally, I do a lot of yodel type mm-hmm. style things, and it came from a lot of that. I listened to a lot of Celtic and Middle Eastern music.
Well, you know, I noticed the vibrato right away. As a drummer, I'm guessing that's the term, vocal. But I noticed the vibrato right away.
Right.
And I mean, it's funny you said Alanis Morissette because I was hearing a little of that. The Cranberries was like a big one that I picked up on.
Oh, yeah. Dolores is my hero.
As well. And see, I didn't even know her name. Rats. Because you said her name earlier.
I have the worst memory. The worst. So people mention their favorite musicians and bands. I just give them blank face because I have no idea who they're talking about. I only pay attention to vocalists if they're good. Otherwise, I don't even know them. So unless I know them personally. But I just blank face them. But I know my singers. The ones that I really, really, really love, I know them. So
I definitely heard, like, you know, in your field, I feel like it's pretty easy for a band, a female-fronted band, to either, I don't know, kind of be typecast as like, oh, this band sounds like Paramore or Evanescence or, you know, Lacuna Coil or Arch Enemy or so many of these bands that just kind of have iconic front women, Hailstorm. But that's kind of the one thing that I did like, or one of the things that I guess jumped out at me amongst many, but that's one of the things that jumped out at me when I heard your single. I was like, you don't really sound like anybody else. It sounds very classically trained, but with a lot of vibrato.
Yeah, and I'm working on my screams. I am not a screamer. I'm not.
Just save your voice.
It's a lot of work, though. But so I've developed this thing that people tell me is cool. I say, okay, I hope so. But I kind of dive from more of a yodel into a growl back into something pretty very easily. And it's an easy transition for me now that I figured it out. So I don't do a lot of screaming, but I periodically just kind of in and out of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
For people listening at home, just a pew pew. You know what I'm saying? We're doing the same hand signals.
And then it goes.
But you can't see what these hand signals are.
You can't. So. We can see them though. But yeah. So that's I'm trying to make that where I feel very comfortable with how it sounds.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, I get compared to bands that have a female singer that people just know a lot, even though we don't sound like them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of irritating. Just because I have black hair does not mean I sound like somebody.
Well, it's one of those things, too. I actually talked to a gal named Jenny Cochran that's the front woman for a band called Frederick the Younger. And we kind of had a conversation about how funny it is when people come up to you and say, hey, you guys sound like this band. Because it might not even necessarily be a band that you even remotely sound like, but to them, it might be just the only band that they know.
Exactly. So especially with a chick singer.
It's so subjective, you know?
They're just like, hey, their mind latches onto the first chick singing band that they know of.
And Evanescence.
Exactly.
Paramore.
We don't sound like Evanescence. We don't at all. But apparently, to the world, we do.
Well, hopefully on this podcast, you'll be able to just, wake them up.
Please. Ah!
Oh.
No.
So, yeah. And then what brought you from Iowa to Indiana?
Well, I'm kind of nomadic. I believe I have gypsy blood in me. I can't stay put. I've been here too long and it's, gives me anxiety. But I stayed for the band. But originally, I moved here for an ex-boyfriend. I'd gotten done with college at Iowa State. And I moved down here. And then it was going to be a year here and then go to Colorado, finish school. But then I didn't get moved. I'm no longer with the same person that I was with. I got with this band and I stayed for the band. And basically, not to deter it into like a sad path of conversation, but in 2013, my mom got killed the day after our first show. And, music had always been the thing I wanted to do.
Right.
But so my mom got killed. My parents got hit on their motorcycle. The girl was texting, ran a stop sign. So I'm not cool with you texting and driving. Don't do it. But so she died. My dad was in the hospital he was in ICU for about 2.5 months, hospitalized for about 3 months total. So when I came back after all that, I was like, I put my foot down. I was like, this is what I'm doing because my mom, that's all she ever wanted me to do was sing. That's it. She was like, I don't care if you do anything else with your life, just sing. She's like, you owe that to me. And I'm like, do I? And I'm like, I kind of do. Like, I was her firstborn, C-sectioned. Why? Because I lied. In the ultrasound, it looked like I was choking. They got in there. I wasn't. I just didn't want to go out the hard way.
Oh, yes.
I was like, come get me. So yeah, I kind of owed it to her. But so that's when I got back. I started, getting things organized. And, the original members, like I said, they weren't on board for long tours or serious commitment. And that was fine, you know, whatever yeah. it is what it is. But so that's when I was kind of like, well, this is the direction I'm going. You're with me or you're not. So.
Well, now you got with that, that's almost seems like it's, you now have like an extra fire underneath you to do this, but it's also too kind of frustrating. I would imagine too, whenever you do deal with people that maybe aren't as committed as you.
It gets really frustrating.
That's like the life of anybody in a band, though, it seems like.
Oh, I work 3 jobs to support my band. And so when I hit a snag or realize a member isn't committed or at least on board with things, like, it's just like, oh, why? I put so much into it. Just put a little. All I ask is a little.
Yep.
But I don't know. It was basically at the funeral when my for my mom, we had a bet. And I had just seen her a month before because we're 9 hours apart. But I had seen her in June that year and she died in July. So we had this bet going and we talked about it again that right before, you know, I'd left from my trip up there. And so her side of the bet was I had to sing that sad, sappy Sarah McLachlan song that's on the puppy commercials, the Arms of an Angel.
Arms of an Angel, yeah.
Yeah, right? I had to sing that at her funeral if she died first. I was like, that's not cool. That's not fair at all. Makes people cry during puppy commercials.
That's true.
What are you trying to do to me? Mine was, if I died first, she had to kick me into my hole after my dad dug it in the backyard. Obviously, I lost the bet. She won. Now somebody else has to kick me in. But, so I sang that stinking song in the middle of a cemetery in front of like 500-600 people, however many people showed up. A cappella in the middle of a cemetery. Do you know how the wind does not really give you, you know...
I have no idea.
You don't sing outside.
No, I'm a horrible singer. I barely sing in the shower.
You barely sing in the shower? Everybody sings in the shower.
From time to time, belt out a little something, but rarely in public.
Right. But so I'm sitting there singing this song a cappella in the middle of this grassy cemetery in front of all these people. And I was like, you know what? If I can do this for her, I'm like, then, I mean... That was the point where it's all switched in my brain. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do.
Right. So. If you can do that, you can pretty much do anything in front of anyone.
I didn't cry. I had that shit. Because I knew if my mom was watching, she'd be like, you better not cry. Don't mess this up. Oh, that was a bad note. She would just be sitting up there doing that. Because that's what, when I sang in the shower, she'd listen in. And she'd be like, I'd be just singing random stuff, making stuff up. And she'd be like, that one note was flat. You should do that differently. I'm like, it's not even a real song. I was just messing around in the shower.
I wrote it flat. Thank you much.
Right. That's how I wanted it.
That's exactly how I needed it to be for the angst.
Right. And she'd just be downstairs. She'd actually sit outside the door sometimes or sit at the bottom of the stairs. And when I come out, she'd be like, I really like that one. But that one part, I didn't like that. I was like, it's shower singing. Leave me alone. But I was so shy growing up about singing. People thought I had epilepsy. And so I very rarely sang in front of her until I got much older. But yeah, so she'd kind of sneak in to wherever she could hear me singing and like perch and then attack me when I got out. Be like, oh my God, sing again. I'm like, no, I'm not singing again.
Well, you have a great voice. So she obviously gave you some great information, maybe. Gave you some great insight and some great advice.
Maybe.
If you have a gift, you got to go for it.
That's what she always
said.
You
got to at least try. Shit.
That's what she said. But I have like panic attacks. That's why I couldn't do opera. I couldn't audition. Like I literally would like panic to the point where I'd shake so bad, I'd fall over, have pass out, go into convulsions because I hit my head again because I have a lot of concussions. And then they were like, oh yeah, you'd be really good if you didn't have epilepsy, dear. And I'm like, I don't have epilepsy.
I'm just nervous.
I'm just that nervous. In choir, I had a friend who would be prepared behind me that as soon as I started to fall over, he'd grab me. He got me most of the time.
Well, how do you get over it now?
Honestly, singing in bands is what did it.
Yeah.
Singing alone, singing like other people's songs, opera or classical, whatever, covers, even karaoke scares the crap out of me still.
Well, it's pretty personal because it's just you.
Well, even that, I think it's, I don't know, singing other people's songs makes me super, super nervous. My stuff, I get up there with my band and I can't recall the last time I actually got nervous before a show.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's because, you know, you're up there. That's one of the beautiful things about being in a band is it's not just you and it's you and all your friends, like,
right.
Just having a great time and the energy's up. And if one, even if you're not into it, if you look over and somebody in your band is like super into it, it's gonna be that feeling where you're like, oh, okay, now I'm getting stoked too.
Right.
My adrenaline's getting up there too. Like, we're going to have a great show. Or if the crowd's into it, you know?
Yeah, when the crowd's into it, it's just a great... Because I like to... I love to, like, work with them and, you know, interact with them and bring them in for hugs and spanks and friendship. So, yeah, when they're getting into it, that gets me more into it.
It's 2017, man. How are you still getting away with spanks?
I do what I want. Not spanks, spanks. Paddle spanks.
Paddle spanks. That's it.
Yeah, I got a little spiky paddle and a... Crack them. Had you ever come to a show, you would know.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm just saying, the word's out on you guys, and I had to have you on the show. So I'll come to the next show.
Maybe.
So, and I just happened to see you for the first time, and this is like the first time in my entire life where I've actually ran into you more than once a year, it seems like. I've ran into you before.
Yeah, when I was working at New Albany Production House, I think we ran into each other a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then...
But because I've been going, I went and saw Fozzie, and because I went and saw Assuming We Survive and Trey Cyrus's band, Metro Station. At the venue you work at, I happened to see you twice in like 3 months. So I was like, you got to get on this podcast. You got to do it.
This is true.
Well, I'm glad that you made it over here.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? I know you said you'd be nervous, but you're natural.
I didn't say I'd be nervous for this.
Yeah. How's your lemon water, by the way?
It's fairly good. I put it in my little Sean versus Wild... Koozie? Is that what you call them? See, I don't drink, so I always forget the name of these things.
Well, anybody can use a koozie. As long as you drink something out of a can. It doesn't have to be beer.
I very rarely drink anything out of a can.
Really? That was the loudest drink.
Let me do it again.
Possibly.
Not nearly as loud. Damn, no, that I nailed was just, it the first
that
time.
That was a fluke. And it's funny, too, because that's probably the first time in every podcast... Where in any of my podcasts where it's been so blatantly you just
I totally took a drink.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show already, but lemons were you can only buy. I was like, oh, I'm going to get some water and some lemon per your request, because I usually listeners, if you want to be on the show, one of the perks is you get a beverage of your choice. Most of the time, it's alcoholic because that's the choice that people will make from time to time. But I've bought Diet Cokes, I've bought Muscle Monsters, I've had a few different things, and you just requested water with lemon. And I was like, I can do this.
Right.
And then when I realized I had to buy 12 lemons, because I couldn't just buy one, then I had to settle for a bottled water with a lemon infusion.
I mean, it works for me.
I was going to say, the six bottles that I got probably cost just as much as the 12 lemons. I could have set you up with tap water and a bunch of lemons, but
right. You
know what? I strive. I strive for my guests. How is it? Is it good or not?
It's pretty good.
You can say no if it sucks.
No, I mean, does flavored water ever really suck?
I think flavored water is never really all that good.
Really?
I would rather just drink regular water.
I don't know. There's some good flavored water, man.
Well, maybe I just don't know. See, I like the energy, the energy ones are tight too, but those Mio type squeezy flavors
you put in water,
I'll deal with that.
Sometimes they taste too much like Kool-Aid. I just don't like
Kool-Aid. Take it. Tang. Oh, I'll take it. But if I get a bottled flavored water, I'm like, this tastes like crap. This makes my stomach hurt.
You like the cheap crap powders.
I have white trash taste. What can I say?
Apparently, you drink that grape drink.
I would.
I bet you would.
Yeah, I do. And I like to make my Kool-Aid way sweet, so that way, you know, it just like hurts your stomach after a second.
I'm a sugar junkie, but I hate Kool-Aid. I hate candy. I like chocolate.
Oh, gotcha. All right, well, we're going to play this game at this point of the show, because I just asked this question the other day, and now it's your turn, okay? Uh-oh. What are the best candy bars? Not sour, not fruit-flavored things, but the best, what you would... find in the candy bar section.
Snickers.
Of the gas station. Obviously. Snickers is number one for you?
Obviously.
What's your top three?
Snickers, Almond Joy, and probably Reese's.
See, we have very similar. Mine would be Reese's is number one. Snickers is number two. Twix, number three.
Twix are okay.
But when I'm chatting with people, we're bringing up candy bars that I haven't thought of that are way scrumptious.
Like what?
Like the 100 grand.
I don't know if I've ever had one.
Well, do yourself a favor and get one.
I like those Hershey's, the mint crunch ones.
Mm.
Those are really good.
See, 100 grand, great. and also Take Five.
What is in that?
It is a. It's like peanut butter, chocolate, and a pretzel.
Oh, I don't like pretzel.
Really?
Uh-oh.
Well, they're sick. Listeners, if you have an opinion on it, you tell me about it in the comments below. You email me at seanversuswild@gmail.com and tell me what your favorite candy bar is.
Don't eat the pretzel.
Yeah. Dude, the Take Five is pretty tight. I've got a Take Five bag of candy for the trick-or-treaters, and I don't think it's going to make it to Halloween. Surprise, guys. Even though this probably will air in December, it is still not even Halloween yet.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, what's coming up on the horizon for Catechus? Because you're now, in our timeline here, in our conversational timeline, you've moved from Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this newfound reason to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're playing music. Where do we go from there?
Well, so basically it's just push. We are trying to tour, record, get our music out there, you know, market ourselves, which again, merch comes in handy for any startup band. That's where you really got to, one, you have to work on your sound, obviously.
Right.
There's obvious things with bands, and then there's a lot of things that bands just don't know to do right off the bat. Marketing yourself is a major thing you need to do if you want to take your band seriously or make it anywhere. So merch is something you should invest in, because that's how you make your money on the road. When you're a nobody band, people don't know you. How do you make your money? The venues aren't going to pay you a lot to play. You're spending most of your money on gas. You got to hustle your merch.
Right.
You make have it to something
subsidize.
Exactly.
What you're doing.
And make it something somebody wants. Not some shitty ass little design on a $5 t-shirt. I mean, you can start there, but build.
Right.
Like, my friends in Psycho Stick, they've been my friends for years and years and years and years. But they call themselves t-shirt salesmen who play music on the side.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in Uh-Huh Baby Yeah, we prided ourselves on having merch, and we had a lot of merch at all times. So it'd be one of those things where, you know, when you set up your merch table, you might have 7 shirts and 2 CDs and stickers and other stuff going on. Because you're right. You have to make your money elsewhere, because if you're relying on just your guarantees, you're not going to be afloat for very long, or you're right? Not going to go home with much money in your pocket.
Unless you're just automatically rich because you just have money from something or somewhere, or you're an overnight YouTube star.
Right.
You have to put in the footwork. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 4 years with this project. Kind of refreshed our lineup again. So right now we're writing new music, really putting a whole lot of work into that too, because it's an evolution. I respect bands who evolve and grow over the years. A lot of people call them sellouts. I don't. I realize it's an evolution. You have to grow with your music. And when you find that thing, you know, sometimes it takes 20 years, sometimes it takes 2, but you have to find that sound in yourself and your band that you know that people are also going to want to listen to.
Right.
It's not about you. You can have the most extremely elusive music and be like, oh, so abstract. But if nobody likes it, they're not going to listen to it.
Yeah, that's half the battle.
Right? So you have to make it so you can respect yourself, but also be enjoyable.
Right.
So that's where I'm at right now. I've got, like I said, I refreshed the lineup. We've got new ideas coming in. So we're writing music. We really want to make stuff that people can get into. And then, so we're starting to record in November. And I've got some stuff lined up for new video, you know, things like that. So trying to get all that done through the winter. So in the spring, we can kick it hard on tour again and just get back out there and meeting new people and spreading the word of Catechus.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, at this point, let's spread the word about Catechus and let's play a song. You brought me a couple records here. You got 2 records under your belt already, and they are String Me Up and Fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you brought them both to me. Can't wait to check them both out. we were talking about playing Sanctuary, which is your single, which you have the video for. But I was like, you know what? Play the song that you like. And then I was listening to some jams, and we kind of came to the mutual conclusion that we're going to play, instead of Sanctuary, we're going to be playing a song called How to Fall.
Indeed.
Yeah, because this is my show, and I can do whatever I want, and you're the guest, so you can do whatever you want.
This is true. I got my feet propped up and everything ready for this.
Yeah, you came in with your pajamas.
I did.
No shoes, PJs, just straight up in relaxation mode.
Right? It is nighttime. Dang straight, I put my PJs on.
That's true. And I got my catechist hat on, so that rocks.
Oh, yeah.
So, guys, without further ado, actually, you know what? I'm going to have you tell us a little bit. Give us a little snippet. Give us the deets on what this song is all about here before we hit it.
This one is basically, I don't know. It's more of how you feel when you lose people. It's like, how do you continue on with that? Or how can you go on? Or should you just follow them
sure.
down? And so it's just basically kind of questions in my own head and just ended up being a song. But yeah, it's one of those things where you question, should I just follow the ones I've lost, or should I keep going on?
Right. Well, there you go. Guys, this is How to Fall by Catechist. guys, How to Fall by Catechist. We made sure to be super silent during during that song break.
I was holding my breath.
I did go and get, I did go and get one of those lemon waters, and it's not as lemony as I thought it was going to be.
But it straight up says, like I said, it's not like lemon's going to make you go with your face. You can't see that, but I made like the lemon face. You know what I'm
saying. It's less lemon than a lemon slice in a glass of water at a restaurant.
Lemon essence.
It's just a hint of lemon.
Yeah, with unsweet lemon. So it's not even like overly sugary. See, not Kool-Aid-y, which is good.
See, as long as you like it, then mission accomplished, okay? Our guests are satisfied here at the Sean vs. Wild podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And that's off of your second album, Fallen.
Indeed.
And as you were mentioning before, you've got a third album in the works here.
In the works, indeed. I'm pretty excited about it.
By the time this airs, you're already going to be in the studio, woodshedding, workshopping.
Panicking, having anxiety attacks. Jordan hasn't experienced this yet, so.
Yeah, that's a name that always comes up on the podcast. Jordan Haynes, big shout out to you. And
indeed.
I know you're going to do awesome work on the upcoming release.
Has he ever not?
That's really the question of the day. Has he really not? And the answer is, no, he never hasn't.
Right. Use a lot of nevers.
Yes, he never hasn't.
Never hasn't.
So, what's the general vibe and theme of the new album? Are you thinking here?
Honestly, I don't know. We're still writing, so we've got a couple of the songs ready to go. And we're also debating on whether to make it an EP or an LP. Really, it depends on money, time, and how we want to market the album.
Sure.
If we want to do multiple releases prior to the, single releases prior to the full album release, or, how far we want to extend it. I definitely want to do a lot of touring next year, so I want to time it just right.
Right. It seems like we're in a business right now. The music business in general is very much like, it's almost it's single based. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
So putting out an LP, I mean, if you got the money and you got the time, go ahead and go for it. But an EP works just fine because ultimately you're just going to be putting out singles and music videos. So
right, exactly.
However many of those you put out during your album cycle.
Yeah, we're hoping to have the first video out for the new album along with like a full release. So hopefully by December,
mm-hmm.
First release of the single and first out like video off of that will also be out. So that's the goal. You always got goals and then, a lot of times you don't meet them, but that is the goal.
Yeah, see, that's the important thing, though. The important thing is to have a goal and just work. Indeed. Work super hard.
Mm-hmm.
And just fail and learn from your failures.
Exactly.
That's pretty much my life, doing this podcast every time. And I've said that same boring thing every week, and I'm sure listeners are probably like, dude, get something else to talk about. But I can't keep, I can't harp on it enough, because that's the big secret, man. Right. You just got to keep working. Find something you like.
And you're like an amazing drummer. You should really get either some bongos or like a, what is it, the cajon?
A cajon.
Cajon. Anyway, you should get that and like bongo it out in between sessions or something on your podcast.
I think that would really just turn this place into like a little coffee house.
I can play kazoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just snap and it'll be like a real smoky room.
I can play the kazoo without a kazoo. You hear that?
That's pretty good. Not bad. Will there be kazoo on the next record?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like that's something we should, put out there to the public and see if they want kazoo on the album.
Yeah. Catechist Nation, you let us know.
Right?
What is it that you want to hear on that new upcoming release?
Would you like a kazoo solo? Because I think I could do an excellent kazoo solo.
Yeah.
Like guitar solo? No. Kazoo.
Do you play any other instruments?
I play a little keys.
Play little keys. Okay.
Little keys. Not well enough to break it out on stage and sing at the same time.
Sure.
But I'm working on that. I took lessons as a kid and then I got mad because I wanted to be a gymnast at that point.
Oh, okay.
And mom was like, no, you play piano.
As you do.
Right? She's like, you don't get to be a gymnast. You have to play piano. And I was mad. I was mad at that. So I took 6 or 7 years of piano lessons. And then when I quit, it's like I forgot everything instantly because I was so like, ha ha, I win.
I'm in the gym if you need me.
Right? And then I was like, oh man, why did I do that?
Dude, that's the thing about being a kid, okay? Like, and I'm still kind of like that. I don't think I ever grew out of it, but there are things that I want to be. Like, I'll be like, all right. Like as a kid, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I'd really love to work at McDonald's.
You did not.
Yeah, of course, because I'm a little kid. I think McDonald's is cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm 3 or 4 or 5 years old. And then it'd be like, you know what? I think I could probably be a karate champion instead. And then like never take a karate lesson because it's like I'm going to be a pro basketball player the next week. Then I'm going to be an actor. And then I'm going to be a musician. And then that whole musician thing, I mean, that lasted for a while. Now I'm a podcaster.
Right. You still drum in your...
Tomorrow I'll be a plumber. Who knows?
Do you have the good plumber ass?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do have a butt crack.
Your pants fall down.
It is a thing.
Quite often.
That's what happens. When you're overweight in this world, it will happen to you every time.
I don't even know if it's a weight issue. I gave a kid at a show the other night a speech on how to wear pants. Like, maybe he should take a class. Like, do they offer these things? Like, learn how to wear pants.
Dude, it's a fashion thing because everybody wants to wear pants. Nobody wants to wear pants all the way up there, past their navel. For men, it's not high-waisted jean season. It's not high-waisted season
here. But it's not low mid-thigh season either.
Hey, man, sagging your pants has been popular since the mid-90s.
Because people don't know what pants are for.
Well, they're basically a priority. They're just a necessity in public to go to their pants McDonald's.
Are there. Exactly. Their pants are there to cover their ass, not sit below their ass. And then the belt is supposed to keep them waisted, and they put the belt on tight enough where it hugs their knees.
Yeah.
Why is your belt at your knees?
Pants are just a formality so you can go to you can go out in public and not get thrown out. Actually, you know what? That's a lie because you got to have shirt, you got to have shoes or else you're not going to have service, but pants, I guess that's optional.
Well, shirts, I've seen people run into places with no shirt and not get harassed about it. I surprisingly enough get yelled at only a few places about my feet.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Do they make you wear shoes at work?
One of the jobs, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like maybe.
But they're slip-ons, and when nobody's looking, they slip right off.
I feel that. You should just get yourself a desk job, because then people will never know.
Yeah, but then my butt hurts, and I get bored and fidget.
That's true. If you're a plumber, I would definitely recommend wearing shoes.
No, I do construction stuff, and I do not wear shoes unless it's too cold or I'm shingling and it's too hot and they blister. But otherwise, I do it barefoot.
All right, well...
There's no nail or glass that can stop me from being barefoot.
You just walk on the bed of nails.
You know what? Nails Hot are not coals. As bad. You know what's worse than nails? Thistles.
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
I go hiking. Thistles.
Yep.
Man.
Well, you know, they say it's like really... Guys, this is not like a podiatrist podcast here. So
foot fetishes are us.
Do you have people that randomly... You were talking about how you should exploit your always barefootness, because I was always barefoot on stage too. So when I played music, never had shoes on for, 14 years. Never wore a pair of shoes while I was playing drums.
Damn.
Tore my feet up. Ridiculous. I was always having issues with my feet. But it's just more flexible when you're like doing your pedal work and your footwork and all that good sort of thing.
Right.
So, but for you, you were talking about like... That's kind of your trademark.
Well, okay, so I have heat strokes.
Okay.
So if I put shoes on, I don't know that I'd make it through a whole set on stage, to be honest. And I've had enough heat strokes and concussions to last me a lifetime. I don't really need any more. So then also, they're like foot prisons. My feet get claustrophobic. I get panic attacks. I'm like, these things have to come off of my feet. And I'm like, but why? I own probably 20 pairs of socks. Do I wear them? Nah.
How many foot followers do you have on Facebook?
I don't know on Facebook. On Instagram, I know I have a handful, but I think I should like legit have my like specific foot Instagram and be like, hey, for more pictures, send money to this.
send money to this private Snapchat.
I'm going to prostitute my toes. They're not shy.
Honestly, maybe you wouldn't have to work one of those extra jobs.
That's what I'm saying. And I don't think, I'm fairly certain, I haven't checked the laws, but I'm fairly certain foot prostitution is not illegal.
I don't know. I'm sure it's probably not. Honestly, people are doing worse things on the internet for money than that. So.
And I can put like a little clause at the bottom that says these feet are over 18.
Yeah, there you go. 18 plus.
18 plus.
Dude, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people out there that would be interested in that sort of thing because on the internet, there's just a little something for everybody out there.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I don't have a foot fetish. This is just naturally how I am. I am very clumsy also. So barefoot, I can, get around anything. I can climb stuff, shimmy up trees and up muddy hills. And
yeah, and Catechist Nation, if you want to see more foot pics, just DM Sean versus Wild at gmail.com with $50.
He'll be my middleman. Yes. Of course, he's going to take his cut.
Yeah, so, you know, we've got this new business that I'm that we're really just trying to get off the ground. It's not a pyramid scheme.
Sean and Michaela versus feet.
There you go. And besides the foot business, you were talking outside, you know, because we were just talking about playing music and what our, you know, what our ultimate goals are. And you and I kind of always had, it seems like you and I have the same, had the same type of goal. I used to have that goal when I played music. You have it now. But it's just to be able to have that work that one job. That job be your passion, be music, pay your bills. You don't have to live super duper fancy or anything.
Nope.
But you do have a passion that you were telling me about outside of music.
Yeah, I actually went to college for my major was animal ecology, and if I go back, it'd be wildlife behavior. And I am happy as can be in the middle of the woods tracking mountain lions and such, and studying behavioral patterns. But other than that, it's music and that and music. So it kind of it's traded off and on throughout my life, where my main focus will be my animal career, and then it'll switch back into music, and the animals are, you know, I still continue that stuff, but it kind of just flip-flops. And I've done a lot of rehab stuff, a lot of volunteer stuff. Like, I have 2 rabbits, a cat, 2 dogs, a horse. They're all adopted. They were all abused and or needed homes, and I took them in. So
animals, your passion, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I work in the pet insurance field, so animals are kind of my passion and my work.
I need pet insurance.
Well, hit me up after this is over.
How did I not know this?
So, yeah. But I see a lot of your, because you and I have been chatting a lot back and forth just in preparation for this show. But I have seen, you know, been seeing you make what trips back to Iowa, and you've got your whole horse farm out there. You got your whole horses.
Yeah, I had a lot of horses at one point. I was breeding and raising horses, and I got out of that, moved around, went to college, all that stuff. So I had 4 horses left when I moved down here. I brought my 2 boys down. They have since both passed. So I did adopt this Peruvian peso back in 2013 that wasn't necessarily abused, but he was neglected, abused. Right. So he had a lot of issues. He still does that. We do corrective shoeing and medication, and I board him down here. So I only paid an adoption fee for him, but it costs a fortune to board him down here. But I love him. He's adorable. And I originally got him as a companion for the one that was left after my one boy died, my Arabian that I'd had 18 years, and he just died back in November. He was everything. He was my boy. But so I got him as a companion horse for him because I couldn't afford to bring my 2 girls down. They're still in Iowa. So if anybody in the Louisville, Southern Indiana area knows of an acreage for rent or rent to own, PM me on Facebook. Find me. Please let me know, because I need this. I need to bring my girls down because they have been with me. The one is 21. The other is 19. And I've had them their entire lives. So, but they are still up in Iowa with my dad.
Gotcha.
So every time I go home, I just hug them.
So you have a real passion for equestrianism.
I guess. I ride.
I ride. No biggie.
No biggie, no. I normally don't even put saddles or bridles on my horses. I just ride them.
Yeah.
My mares, I put a rope around with their halter, and I jump on them, and we go very slowly because they're lazy and fat. But
same.
You're just waiting for somebody to put a bridle on you and say, go, Sean,
that's
go.
It. Yep. Just a rope. So, yeah, well, that's cool. I'm a big animal fan as well. I had a Shih Tzu for years and years. He passed away about 2 years ago, and he was 18. And so I'm 31, and he passed away about 2 years ago. So I had him most of my life. Got him when I was like 10 or 11. And so I don't have any pets currently at the moment. Can't have pets at the Smithsonian here, guys. I rent.
Oh, that's rough.
They won't let me. But you know, Smithsonian too. Maybe we'll have some Sean versus Wild wild animals around here.
Right. You need a sugar glider to jump between you and your your guess.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Right?
You know, I have a friend that has sugar gliders, and they seem really neat, but they're like, if you don't hold them enough, they'll die. And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Most of the people I know who have them actually take them everywhere with them, put them in their pockets, and just travel with them.
Yeah.
I'd have a Catechist sugar glider just hanging out.
That'd be perfect.
On stage, just under a shirt pocket. Right?
Why not?
Jamming.
It's your new gimmick.
Right?
It's your new thing.
Like, if I jumped into the crowd, I'd set him on top of my microphone stand, and he'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be pretty sweet. But then I feel like he would take cue from me and dive into the people, too, and I feel like that'd be a bad move at a rock show for this little sugar glider to people dive.
For animal safety, probably not a great idea.
Not a good idea.
Which animal's best?
There is no such thing.
But if you had to pick one, like we picked candy bars.
I can pick my least favorite, which is humans, obviously.
Obviously, yes.
They are dirty, filthy creatures. But but I can't pick best. Like, I'm a vegetarian, but I'm more of a carnivore. I don't really like vegetables. But personality-wise, I'm more of a predator as opposed to a herbivore. I'm not a prey species. So I relate really well to predatory mammals, and that's what I really wanted to do research on with going back to school. But again, I love my horses. I love deer. I've rehabbed so many things, raptor birds and squirrels and rabbits. And I'm telling you right now, Sean, there isn't a best one. They're all my family. I love them all.
That's what you might be the wildest wildling because you are so in touch with nature. So, yeah.
I can't even have a snake because I cannot say, oh, my friend Mouse, you will be eaten by my friend Snake. I can't do that to them.
Yeah.
If they were just in my backyard living
and
their
part
lives.
Part of the ecosystem.
Yeah. If I had like an ecosystem type of cage, like just it's my whole backyard, just kind of fenced in. I say, whoever eats whoever, I have no part of it.
Yeah. It's a circle of life, guys. Yep. So what are some fun road stories? I always like to ask everybody that too. What are some great stories that you can share with the listening audience?
Road stories. We don't really have any sort of crazy stories yet. We did take a temporary bassist out on tour with us once, and he smelled so funky. Stunk up my van. I had to clean my van after.
No comment about the way bass players smell.
Why is it always a bass player thing?
It's just part of their DNA, I think.
This is like, I smell funny. I'll be a bassist.
Hey, this will work out perfectly. I already smell.
Right? No, we made friends with a raccoon once. We shared our Mexican food with him. Honestly, we have all good experiences for the most part on the road. We did stay with one of my friends, and I won't name names. He knows. His place, I'm so allergic to smoke, and he did not. He's like, I haven't smoked in there for like a week. We went to his house, and I thought I was going to die straight up. I was like, no, I'm going to physically just keel over right here.
If you need me, I'll be in the van.
Right, pretty much. But yeah, other than that, like we've had waffle party down in Nashville with a bunch of our friends. And
is that anything like blue waffle or lemon party?
It should be, right?
I hope not. No.
No, waffle party is legit a waffle party. Like waffles and fruit and
I'm into
syrup
that.
And
I was telling
cream.
You guys, and I might have mentioned on the tour, but the perfect brunch, if you're ever out on tour and you want the perfect tour brunch beverage, we call it the Bromosa. And basically, you just take the cheap beer of your choice and put it in a glass and then fill the rest of that glass up with orange juice and then you just drink it. And it's called a Bromosa. So for any of you guys out there, if you have a hangover, give it a whirl. But that's just my advice. Michaela doesn't drink.
No, and honestly, the guys in my band... They're not heavy drinkers from my experience. I've seen them drink here and there, but nothing crazy. So I really don't have like drunken band member stories. I feel like I'm missing out maybe, but I'm glad I don't have to deal with it.
You're not missing a thing.
I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that.
You're not missing a thing. Well, what's some advice though? Cause we've been pretty opinionated as far as, I feel like off, once I turned this talk boy on pause there to play your song, we had great conversation. But what's some advice that you can give people out there that want to play music or that they are playing music or they're touring or something like that? What's some advice that you can give them to help their journey be a little easier?
Share knowledge. You know, have an open mind to the advice that you get from other people. don't think that you're better than what you are, because you can always improve. Always. I don't care if you are the most amazing singer. You know, I don't care if you're Celine Dion. I bet she still has a vocal coach.
Probably.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always room for improvement. There, you can always take it to another level. You can always just find clever ways of doing something that somebody else might enjoy. So always be open to advice and criticism in a good way. Because I personally, even if I don't enjoy somebody's music necessarily, I will always try to find the good that I hear in it and give them advice on how to improve. Even if they're a baby band and they know three notes and they're just off key the whole set, I'll be like, hey, you know what? Your melody was good.
Yeah.
Work off that. Improve everything else. You know, rework that. But I try never to give negative feedback to people. Always find a positive and build off of that. And even if something isn't where it could be, let them know that, you know, you feel that they can get there.
Yeah.
Because then they can. Like, you know, the more optimistic feedback I get, the more I feel like I can do it.
Right.
Even if I'm not there yet.
Right.
And so many bands are negative towards other bands and they just kind of want to keep other people down while they rise. And it's music. It's music. If there's something you want to hear, then why not help those people?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's my thing, is just, and merch is key. When you're on the road, you're not making a whole lot of money. So sell yourself. And how do you sell yourself when people can't necessarily see you? I've gotten pictures from people who have seen my stickers in states we haven't toured to yet.
Yeah.
So if somebody knows my name, and they're probably mad while they pull my sticker down, but they know my name.
Yeah. It's just all about, you just got to market yourself. And
right.
You got to make your money one way or the other.
And don't rely on people who hit you up and say, well, if you pay us this amount of money, we're going to make you. Make yourself first before you give anybody any credit for what you're doing.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So that's great advice for anybody out there. Take it to heart, guys.
And I haven't made it yet, but I know a lot of people who have, and they put that work.
Yeah,
into
but you're
it.
In the mix right now. You know what I'm saying? So you might not have made it or anything, but you're in the mix right now, and everybody's learning as they go.
Right.
Nobody really knows the secret to any of this.
And if people give me advice, I'm like, yes, thank you, and then I can share that with other people.
Yeah.
I don't try to hoard information so people can't get better. That just doesn't make any sense.
No one really knows. I mean, we're just all floating through life in general on a rock. You know what I'm saying? On a salt lamp.
I'm going to lick it again.
Yeah. So we're all just floating through life, you know, just trying to make the best of it. There's no one way. So
there isn't. And your advice might not be the advice they take, but hey.
My advice specifically. Guys, if you're listening, my advice might not be the one you want to take.
Did you just say specifically?
No. Specifically.
Okay, thank you.
So, but yeah, and where can people find, as we wrap up here, where can people find Catechus on the line if they were to fire up their gateway computer?
Do people still have gateways?
They were going to fire up AOL 4.0. They just got the brand new floppy disk in the mail.
Ooh, floppy disk. I forgot all about those.
Where can people find you on America Online?
Everywhere. You can find me everywhere. Social media, we have Facebook, obviously, Instagram. Basically, everything we Instagram goes to the Twitter, the Twits.
The Twits.
Mm-hmm. I don't personally enjoy tweeting, so I just linked it to my Instagram. So you'll see the same things. Follow the Instagram, because then you can see the pictures outright. We also have something called, I forget, it's not the Grindr thing, it's something else. I don't know, something else for bands. I don't know.
Grindr, I don't think it's for bands.
I don't think it's Grindr. I think it's something else. But it's also synced to Instagram, so I just hit yes, send it there too. And then music-wise, we do also have a website, catechusmusic.com. That's where our online merch store is, where you can order things. And then I personally package it myself, and I ship it to you. So all hands on. I have nobody helping me. Also, for music, you can find us on iTunes, Amazon, Google, Spotify, all of it. We are on iHeart, but it's a very, I don't know how they mix their stations, but it's us and like Jefferson Starship.
Oh.
And then a couple of other 70s bands. And I don't know why we're associated with 70s bands. I don't think they know who we are. And they just stuck us in a radio station with a bunch of 70s bands.
Well, Jefferson Starship, well, Jefferson Airplane in the 70s, but they have a female singer.
I know, but...
Grace Slick.
Yes, I love Grace Slick. And that's, you know what? When I first heard, that was the first song that played after us on that station. I was like, okay. And then it just continued to be weird, random 70s songs. I was like, this doesn't make any sense, iHeart. And I use iHeartRadio, and I'm like, how do I fix this? So I go through, and I'm like, nope, 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 nope. And then it says no more songs in the radio station. I was like, oh, man, I killed the station. So,
but it's on iHeartRadio.
It is. I mean, they'll play some of our songs, and then you have to listen to some random 70s songs. But they're usually okay. They're not similar at all.
Well, there you go. Well, if you just want to have an eclectic playlist for your work day, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, if you like the podcast, you can, you probably know this, you can check me out also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And I'm on iHeartRadio as well,
Ooh. Which
I don't really talk about iHeartRadio that much, but I'm on that. And I'm on YouTube and I'm on iTunes and wherever you like to get podcasts. So please like, share, subscribe, and follow, and give me a 5-star Meow Meow Beans rating.
What's a Meow Meow Beans?
It's just a nice way of saying a 5 golden star rating.
Oh, I thought that was like a thing. I don't know what the kids use these days.
So yeah. So give me the 5-star rating. Give Catechist the 5-star rating. Join Catechist Nation.
Join the Catechist Nation.
On Facebook.
And we share some really random things.
And on Earth.
And on Earth.
So I've had a great time. I thank you so much for coming over here and hanging out.
I appreciate it.
And
it's been a good time.
Joining me around the Salt Rock.
Right. Feet freedom. We're both barefoot right now.
We're both barefoot right now.
Hashtag feet freedom.
Hashtag foot followers. Hit us up at Catechist on Facebook, catechistmusic.com, and SeanVersusWild.com.
So yeah, Sean followers. Versus Wild.
But yeah. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. This has been another episode of Sean Versus Wild.